Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janmate Maya Sao
Papo.
Ma Vidyan Madhusudana. Samudvije Bhavadeto. Kamsat Ahamadirodi. Janmate Maya Sao Papo. Ma Vidyad Madhusudana. Samudvije Bhavadeto. Kamsadahamadhiradi. Janma.
The birth.
Te. Of your lordship.
Mai.
In my womb. Asau.
That Kamsa.
Papa.
Extremely sinful.
Ma vidyat.
May be unable to understand.
Madhusudana.
O Madhusudana.
Samudvije.
I am full of anxiety.
Bhavadheto.
Because of your appearance.
Kamsat.
Because of Kamsa. With whom I had such bad experience.
Aham.
Adirodi. Have become more and more anxious. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be able to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Purport. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudana. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who were hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Yet, because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kamsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection, and therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. In the spiritual realm, there is only pleasure. There is no suffering. Raso vai saha. Raso ye vayam labdava anandi bhavati. The absolute truth is not impersonal, is not dry, is not empty. The absolute truth is the reservoir of all pleasure. The title Prabhupada gave to one of his small booklets in the beginning. Early book published, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. We used to sell hundreds of them, thousands of them on the subways, the metro in New York. Small book. We sold it for 25 cents maybe. And devotees were so enthusiastic selling those books. People were stopped every day going to work, and they had bought a dozen copies each, and they still would, would give it another quarter and buy another copy. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. Akilara Samrita Murtihi. First words of the Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu. He is the embodiment of all the different rasas. Rasa means not just liquid. In Ayurveda, rasa is digested food. But it's also different kinds of taste. There are transcendental tastes. There is variety. It's not all one taste. Eka rasa. No, it's many rasas and many combinations of ecstasies within those rasas. This is spiritual life. And it is all pleasure. If you contact, if you form a relationship, if you surrender to that absolute truth, the Anandamoyo Purusha, then if you obtain him, if you achieve him and realize him, Anandi Bhavati, then you will become also purely ecstatic. Ananda is pure happiness, unadulterated happiness. We have some happiness in this world, but we cannot properly call it Ananda, because it is spoiled by so much mixed suffering. So much suffering is mixed into our pleasure. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were living as householders, Yes, Lord Chaitanya was still a householder. And Lord Chaitanya joined him after the initiation of the Sankirtan movement in Srivast Thakur's house. Lord Nityananda came to Navadvipa to join Lord Chaitanya, who was still a married man. And they would like to wander around town and give their mercy to various devotees. And they were not so fussy that they would only go to the house of the proper brahmanas. They went to even the house of low-class people, even people engaged in sinful activities, as long as they weren't Mayavadis or proud scholars. Otherwise, they'd go to their houses. And once they wandered into the house of some strange tantric sannyasi, and they let him host them. But then the sannyasi said, "Would you like some Ananda?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, this is what we're looking for." But Lord Nityananda, who had been around the world and seen what's going on, and especially among the so-called sannyasis, he whispered into Lord Chaitanya's ear, "Do you know what he means by Ananda? He wants to offer us some liquor, sharab." You know, and Lord Chaitanya was shocked. He immediately jumped up and jumped out the window of the house and ran away, and Lord Chaitanya followed him. Some semantic misunderstanding what was meant by Ananda. Real Ananda is pure pleasure, not intoxication, not mixed pleasure with happiness with misery inserted in it, like very nicely prepared sweet rice, but sand has been thrown into the sweet rice. It is unpalatable. So material pleasure is not really palatable, but spiritual pleasure is always palatable. Therefore, it is called rasa. Devaki is on that platform of rasa. When you have tasted rasa, then your material problems are solved. When you have tasted one drop of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then you will never again, one drop, you will never again be attracted to any material taste. And nothing will ever cause you trouble. Yam labdva chaparam labha manyate nadi kam tataha yasmin stuto na dukena Gurunapi vichalyate. Krishna explains to Arjuna in the context of samadhi, the perfection of yogic trance. But real samadhi cannot be anything else than coming to the perfection of actually being able to taste the rasa of loving exchange with the Supreme Lord. That is actual samadhi. All other samadhis are just imitation. So Krishna describes to Arjuna, attaining that one cannot, will never think that anything is equal or greater. And being situated in that pleasure, even the most tormentuous agony, torture, cannot disturb him. Physical pain, mental pain, he will not even notice it. Like a person who's distracted, a man in a battle, he may not even notice that he's been wounded and that he's bleeding. And, you know, has a serious wound. He may be so excited from fighting, he doesn't even notice it. Similarly, one who is tasting rasa does not even notice the pain of his body and his mind. Doesn't even notice that the pain is there. And actually, there is no suffering for a devotee who's absorbed in rasa. And once you contact that rasa, you become absorbed. It's like a fly, lands on the fly paper, the sticky paper meant for catching flies. Once he gets his foot stuck, that's it, he's attached. He's glued to the paper, and he's dead. He's as good as dead. So once we contact rasa, we're stuck. There's no getting away from it again. And no ever being attracted to material taste. So Devaki's in that position. She's been in that position for lifetimes. She's been the mother of God already. This is her third time. She is fully absorbed in rasa. Her anxiety is not material anxiety. It cannot be. She cannot be suffering ordinary anxiety like we know. Her anxiety is vyabhichara bhav, a special ecstasy that seems to be a disturbance, but actually is adding to the ecstasy. Like you put some hing. Sometimes I think there's some sweets that you add a little bit of hing to. Asafoetida. No? Some sweet? Maybe not. But anyway, you add some contrary ingredient, just a little bit of it, to add some variety. Yes, sir? Camphor, okay. The camphor is nice. But you put something that by itself is not nice, a little drop of it in combination with other ingredients is nice. So a little bit of disturbance adds to the variety of ecstasy. And these 32, 33 vyabhichara bhavas are all transcendental pleasures. Even though they have frightening titles, envy, anxiety, and so on. These are transcendental ecstasies. Similarly, in this category is the anxiety of Devaki. Her fear that Kamsa is going to hurt Krishna, going to try to kill him, and maybe he can. This is contrary with the transcendental tattva jnanam, spiritual knowledge that she's just revealed, that she's perfectly aware of. She's offered all these prayers, expressing her understanding that Krishna is absolutely powerful, and that material energy is his servant. Still, her motherly affection, her vatsalya rasa, is inspiring the secondary vyabhichari bhava, momentary ecstatic disturbance of being in anxiety for Kamsa, for the enemy. This is actually transcendental pleasure. It is not actually suffering of any kind. So therefore, it is consistent. She can be perfectly aware that Krishna is absolutely powerful, and at the same time be afraid for his protection. This is apparent contradiction in the transcendental realm, and it's all reconciled. It's reconciled. The law of nature in the spiritual realm is the law of rasa. Rasa-basa is not allowed. Improper, untasteful, unpalatable mixing of rasas is not allowed. But whenever, if it's palatable, it's logical in the spiritual world. No matter what we down here in the material world calculate it to be. We may think it's illogical for her to be so smart and at the same time think that Kamsa can hurt her son. But that's material calculation. We're calculating according to the laws of material nature. Time, space, and the law of karma. But that doesn't apply. None of that applies to this transcendental realm. The only restriction is that the laws of rasa must be obeyed. The taste must be palatable and pleasing to Krishna and his devotees. Like in poetry, a poet can create all sorts of impossible fantasies. Like Lord Brahma creates his own universe, so a poet is creating his universe. But it has to be consistent with the laws of poetry. If it involves something tasteless or something disgusting, then it's not good poetry. But it doesn't have to obey the laws of nature. He can create all sorts of impossibilities and contradictions, but it must be poetically consistent. Like that, the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees obey a law of transcendental consistency, that everything is meant for Krishna's glory and pleasure, and that there's rules about how the varieties can mix and how they shouldn't mix. So Devaki is an expert in this art. The participants in Krishna's pastimes have to know this art expertly. Just like if you're going to be part of a dramatic performance, and not only you have to speak the lines, but you have to dance and sing on the stage, you have to be expert in these skills. You know, they before deciding who's going to be on the playing on the stage, they interview, they have auditions, and pick one out of 1,000 contenders for the part. Someone who can actually sing and dance and speak the lines nicely. Only that person is allowed to join the company and be on the stage. So to be participating in Krishna's Leela, you have to be expert in how to obey the laws of rasa. You have to act, think, talk consistently with those laws. Now we're worried about material laws. I want to make money. There's things I have to do to make money. There's laws of competition and there's laws of the government that I have to obey, or else my business will not succeed. I have to pay my taxes, or some taxes. You know, I hire an accountant and lawyer to help me pay the minimum tax, but I do have to be aware of and work together with the law of the government. And then there's laws of practical laws of how you go about successfully conducting a business. So I have so many material concerns about the laws of this material world. The devotee, he can ignore all of that, but he has to learn how to act like a devotee, how a devotee is supposed to behave, how he's supposed to think, how he's supposed to speak. If we have any hope of entering the realm of Krishna's pastimes, we have to learn these skills. So by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, this actually is the best access we have to this spiritual education. Maybe they're offering some other course in Vaikuntha, but here on the earth, the most direct and efficient educational program we have is Srimad Bhagavatam. How to think like a devotee, how to act like a devotee, how to speak like a devotee. From so many examples of devotees who knew these skills. Guru Maharaj didn't know what to say when he first saw the eight-armed Lord Narayan, I think it was eight arms, came on Garuda. Guru Maharaj, I think he had 8 or 10 arms. He was astounded. He was shocked. He was a little boy. He didn't know what to say. But Lord Vishnu touched him on the head with his conch shell. That inspired Dhruva with all ability to speak properly. How to talk to God. That was given to him as a gift by God himself. That gift is available if we take the proper, if we take advantage of it. It's available from studying Srimad Bhagavatam. You can learn how to talk like a devotee. How to talk to God. So many prayers are recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, full of prayers. And you may not be interested in prayers. I want the stories. I want the pastimes. Let's see some demons getting killed. What are all these prayers in the way for? But the prayers teach us how to talk to God. What do you say to him? You know, what kind of ideas will attract him? What kind of thoughts and prayers will impress and attract the attention of Krishna? That we can see examples. It's like you get a book, How to Write Letters, and it gives so many examples of business letters, personal letters, like that, examples. So we have so many examples of how, in various situations, various devotees talk to God in his various incarnations. And Bhagavatam is full of that. Hundreds of different prayers offered by great devotees. This is Vandanam, one of the 9 standard processes of devotional service. How to talk to God. What the proper way to approach him. Krishna can spot a hypocrite very easily. If he won't be impressed by shallow flattery. We have to know how to express our hearts properly, to open our hearts and actually speak in such a way, an honest, sincere way, that Krishna will want to listen to us. That's one of the skills we have to learn. And we're learning here. We heard from Vasudev in this chapter, and now Devaki. And we'll see how Krishna responds. Actually, Krishna obeys the request of Devaki. Babuva Prakritak Shishuhu. He turns into an ordinary child. Simply on Devaki's request. Krishna Akarshani Chasa. When a devotee has prema bhakti, that prema controls Krishna. And what the devotee asks from Krishna, Krishna feels obliged to supply. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I give them what they think they need, and I preserve what they have. Ananyas chintayam tomam. Those who think of me without deviation. I give them everything they want, and what they have, I help preserve it. That's Krishna's promise. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yes. How they were killed? No, I don't remember. No. Vishnu was the killer. Yes, that's why that's Vishnu's name. Brahma, they had stolen the Vedas from Brahma, but Vishnu came and killed Madhu and Kaitava. But this is a story. I don't remember. Who? Yes? Kadashi Devi. Okay, but you say she almost killed him?
Yeah, we just pretending after the very end.
Then Vishnu killed him.
Then he woke up and he got off. Yeah, he killed him.
Okay.
He was fighting.
This is, what book did you see this in?
Oh,
okay, so it's in a Purana. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.